After the chai, we're up to our sixth topic in Muksa. We're up to Sif Chavav in Shin Ches. So Siyat Nishmai, today we're going to touch on very straightforward halacha and Sif Chavav, the halachas of Nisarim. Then we're going to talk about the dinim of Ochel that are considered Ochel and not Muksa, those things that exit the state of Ochel because they're not raw, we either l'klavim or l'chayev of, and there we'll get involved in the shitas harishonim, and then then we will discuss the implications of that for many halach l'mais instances, and then finally we'll discuss the sugya. We'll begin the sugya of graf shel ri'i. So straightforward, sif chaf vav is straightforward. The mechaber paskins nisarim shel balabais mutal l'talklan. If you have boards that belong to a balabais, so one is allowed to move them because it hasn't been designated for the week. It's used around the house. Bishel uman aser, but if it belongs to a artisan, so then it's going to be aser. Elim kei chishav lambod yom liter lem pas l'archam l'tash acher. If he had das, then in such a case, then to use it for something else, that's mutter on Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter. So this comes up, piece of wood, again, Yonah Diyomu Filag V'Omer, pieces of wood, whether they're going to be Muktza or not, depends on whether it's something that's been already, the wood has been domesticated, been used in the house, or it's wood that still is being used by an artisan, so then in such a case it's going to be Usser. The wood for Lag V'Omer that's thrown out would have the din also shel Uman if it was already Zarek La'ashpa, before Shabbos. Okay, now we go to Sif Chav Zayin. We go to the halachos of Atzamos. Now there are two sugyas that the Rama eventually connects, and we're going to start out with the one on Kuf Mem Gimel, and then develop within the Shitas Harishonim. And just the background of the sugya. These sugyas are just not well known in the little experience that I have. So I figured let's try to finally do them well. I'm doing a tikkun for myself because the last time I taught this, I went through it quite quickly. So I'm going to go through it a little bit more slowly in terms of the understanding of Shitas Harishonim. So we have a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. It's kedai to have your Gemara today because we will be quoting a few Gemaras. If you don't have most of what we're going to be quoting, you could spot along in the Beis Yosef in Seifim. The Mishnah begins Beis Shammai Omrim. Now the Maskanas HaGemara is that actually should say Beis Hillel Omrim. So let's read it that way. That's how Rav Nachman said it. Beis Hillel Omrim Ma'avirin Me'al HaShulchan Atzamos HaKlipin. You're allowed to remove bones and peels from on top of the table. So you're allowed to move them. And Beis Shammai says that no, your misalik is hatav l'kula. Beis Shammai says that you need, the only way you could do it is by shaking it off. Now, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to discuss the halachos of shaking them off. So, as we mentioned, the Lag BaOmer theme, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Lanu Ela Beis Shammai Ki Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel Ki Rabbi Shimon, where Beis Hillel follows the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says that in this case, the items haven't become entirely muktzah. They were ra'ui before Shabbos. It might be true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he didn't actively prepare it, but nevertheless, that's not necessary according to Rabbi Shimon. Actually, I never brought this out, so maybe inspired by Rabbi Shimon's period of time. In the Hakdama Mar Mekomos, I put down the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that the Nekudas HaMachlog is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether there is Moksa or whether there's not Moksa, is the following. Rabbi Yehuda holds that anything that you're going to use on Shabbos, you need to positively designate, while the Shita of Rabbi Shimon is that as long as it's not been negatively designated, as long as it wasn't put into the Mukta, then in such a case, it's going to be Roy Lekach. Okay. Here, there's a Machlokes Rashi Tesis, and I don't know what to do with Rashi. I looked around a little bit before Shir, just before I realized, wow, the first part of Shir I don't have a good pshat for. And I couldn't quickly find something, so I throw it out to you that Rashi on the Mishnah says, "Mavirim biyadayim me'al ha'shulchan atzamos kashim she'ein ruyin lekelev." Rashi says it's not roi lekel. So Tesis and Dibra Maskel Atzamos and Klipin disagrees with Rashi. The Beis Yosef quotes this like Yipirish Hakontris to Pirish Afilu Kashim Ein Ruin Lachilas Kavim. The High Tanam Rina Bigmar Dik Rabbi Shimon Svirle. Rabbi Shimon Boy Lechol Apachus Ruin LeMichael Bahema. Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't need to be actively prepared with Achilas Adam, but it can't be in the Muktzah. So even though it's not royal adam like Rabbi Yehuda might require, Rabbi Shimon at least requires royal Michael Behemoth, the Ketari Mevir Me'al HaShulchan, the Penshul Michael Behemoth, Kamina B'Gemara Kavasei. So all the Rishonim go, Lahalacha like Tesis, that of course, if we're talking about something that's not royal Achila Klau, Achilas Behemoth, then that's the Muktzah even according to Rabbi Shimon. When we say Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Muktzah, that just means you don't need to positively prepare, but it needs to be royally for something. So I don't have an answer for Rashi. Unless somehow Rashi wasn't learning according to Rav Nachman on the Mishnah. But maybe that is the pshat by Meivin Yavin. By the way, I looked around, I didn't see a good defense. The Beis Yosef does not give us a good defense for Rashi, and he leaves off Rashi as well with a tzarachim. Okay, so this is the rule. And the machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara has a very, very interesting example in this sugya. It's kedai to do the whole Gemara. It gives very interesting examples and ultimately discusses the halach of graf shel re'i that we're going to get to in Mirtz Hashem next week. But before that Gemara, the Gemara about 10 lines from the end of the perek says, Hani gar'in in de tamri ar maisa, shari l'tutulinu. If you have seeds of dates, of the Armenian dates, so that you're allowed to move. Why? Hol l'chazion agav iman. So here the Pshat in the Gemara is not so clear. Rashi learns as follows. Rashi learns that the Armenian dates were not very enjoyable and they were given to animals. Now animals, when they eat the dates, would eat the dates with the pits. So therefore, it's not going to be muktzah, because the animals eat them with the dates. However, Ude Parsaisa, Aser Shmuel Matatula Agav Rifta. Aser. When it comes to Parsaisa, that's going to be Aser. The Gemara then says, Shmuel Matataluhu Agav Rifta. That Shmuel was matir to be Matatul these things along with the bread. So here we have a fascinating chiddush of Shmuel. That Shmuel says that if you have a Dvar Muktzah, planting a seed, no pun intended, for next week, about the halachas of being metaltal, two different things together. So Shmuel says that there are times that even though you have something that's a basis, but if there's a way to nullify the dvar muktza to the ochel, so we could say it's batal to it. So it's metaltal agav rifta. He was metaltal this agav rifta. So Tosis is bothered by the following question. Tosis says, Afagav the Karibi Shimon Svirle, the Shar the Kamon Perak Basra, Nevela Shenis Nablo B'Shabbos. So Tosis says, according to Rabbi Shimon, this should be mutter even according to Rabbi Shimon, and why are we going to be machmer at all when it comes to this Armaisa? What's Tosis exactly bothered by? So if you take a look at the booklet, there's a Rajba in the first page, and the Rajba explains as follows. Explains that this sugya is really going to be talui in the sugya of noilad. In other words, we made reference to this in Hilchos Shabbos, that Hilchos Bishul, excuse me, that there is a question of whether there's such a thing as an iser of noilad on Shabbos. So Tosos over here is assuming what most Rishonim assume, and that is that noilad is only a shailah yontif; it's not a shailah on Shabbos. So here explains the Rajba, Pirish Betosis, the Rabbi Yehuda Kamar, Ahul Rabbi Shimon, the Lesley Noilad, Afil Parsei Shari, the Achazion LeMichel Behema. When it came Bein Ashmashos, it was Chazi LeMichel Behema, whether we were talking about Armaisa or Parsaisa. So what exactly is the problem? Ah, so you know what the problem is? The problem was that it's Nolad. The problem is that when it was Bein Hashmashos, the pits weren't in existence, and then they were separated. So that's a new problem of Nolad. Similarly, we're going to have, Halacha L'maisa and Shulchan Aruch, a similar type of question when you have a piece of meat that is ro'ui for a person to eat, but he's not going to eat the bone, and the bone itself eventually will be ra'oi for a dog to eat, but when it comes bein hashmashos, the bone the person won't eat, and the bone right at bein hashmashos is not prepared for a dog. So that would be a shaila of nolad. That would be a shaila of nolad. We're going to have that in the Mishnah Berurah. So similarly, Tosfos learns that that's the pshat, that over here the sugya is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon. However, the Rashba himself disagrees. The Rashba says, "V'yishlamar oda hacha Reb Shmuel afil k'Reb Shimon u'da'avid." He says, "No, that we're following the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and that what's the issue? The issue is as follows: that these tamarim have no purpose. They have no purpose going into Shabbos. The demashma perik ma'amel adlikin the loaser kai gavna elaman the sfir dek Reb Yehuda." The Amar Masikim Bitvarim, Aval Ema Sikim Begarinim. Hani Mila Biyantif Mishum Rabishim, the Lassay Nola, Shal Tatum Mishum the Chazla Hasaka. Aval Bishabis, the Lo Chazila Hasaka, Muksininu. The Lo Michzi Elala Hasaka. The only purpose that you have, that you could use these pits for, are to burn them. And therefore, says the Rajba, the Shiloh over here is a Shiloh according to Rabbi Shimon. And in regards to Rabbi Shimon, also, it's going to be mukzah. He then asks, what Tosfos said, assume that's chazi la'achilas behema, va'afal gav the chazi tzas la'achilas behema, kim the hashtami yasam la'asaka, mukzah ninu. In general, these pits are generally assumed that they're going to be used for firewood, and therefore it's mukzah, the b'shabes la'asaka lo'chazi aso l'talklan. So there's a machlokus over here between Tosfos and the Rajba, whether our sugya is talking a chumrah within Rabbi Yehuda, or we're going within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, back into Tosos, Tosos introduces Miumach Mirhoi Mishum Dayadim Choshev Kabaye. The Gemara on the bottom of Kuf Mem Beis Amid Beis says that Abaye was Machmir for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda because he was an Adam Choshev. He was afraid that people would be Choshesh that he wasn't giving Shabbos the appropriate kavod, and therefore we are following that Shita. Okay, so we have a machlokas whether this whole sugya is really aliba de hilchasa, whether this is according to Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to see that in the we're about to get to in the Tur Beis Yosef, we're going to see that we are following shitas. We're going to assume we're following shitas Rabbi Shimon, and therefore the hagdaros that we had over here in regards to the atzamos and klipa and roi la'achilas kelev are going to be nogea even according to Rabbi Shimon as well. Yes.
Just a clarification, where yes. In Tosfos do we see that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda? He seems to be saying dafka within Rabbi Shimon.
No. In Miu Machmir Haya, Mishum Dahaya Adam Chashuk Abai Varavah Le'il. So what's Abai Varavah Le'il? So if you take a look on the bottom of Kuf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, in the Gemara is told us something in the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara says that Adam Chashuv has to be Machmir. Well, it has to be Machmir. And the Rajva, I'm a Kabbal your point, partially. Let me just finish Yehuda. And the Rajva is assuming that this Yisod, the Abai and Rav were Machmir, would also be at times, that Tosfos was saying, even in Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Rajba is assuming, but that's Tosfos.
Meaning that, according to Tosfos, we're masnir for Rabbi Yehuda in this case.
Exactly.
Meaning that when he says Adam Chashuv Shiny, it means that we're going to be masnir for Rabbi Yehuda.
Correct. Correct. That's what it means. Correct. Okay. All right. So let's see Lahalacha. Let's take a look. So in the tour, we have in Shin Ches Sif Chav Zayin. Atzamas shuruyin leklavim o klipin shuruyin lemaichel behemu piruin shemen kezayis mutal avir me'al shulchan avol kol davar she'en lemaichel behemu emet halton atzal menaris atavla veheinoflin. So it depends on whether it's going to be ra'uy leklavim or not, and the assumption over here is that Rabbi Shimon needs ru'uyin lemaichel behemu. And then I mentioned to you, again, I'll just summarize what we had digressed in with the Rajba, is that it's unclear if the hemshich of the sugya is that we're really being choshish for shitas Rabbi Shimon, it's all within shitas Rabbi Shimon, or the sugya is going as a chumrah being choshish for Rabbi Yehuda. But the Tosfos learns, by the way, Tosfos not only in this Tosfos above as well learns that the sugya is going as a chshash within Rabbi Yehuda. But clearly, the Beis Yosef assumes something along the lines that we saw in the Rajba that's going within Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So therefore, bottom line is that a food to be considered not mukta, it needs to be ra'u la'achilas klavim. So take a look at Chavtes in the Beis Yosef, continuing on the Beis Yosef. Because of Oda Ran, v'chi kasher Rav Shimon l'tal tule atzam masmarim l'klam v'klipin d'cholizim l'mach v'hema, af al pishin esparku atzam masmah basar, v'haklipin me'ah peres v'shabis, aval im esparku me'erev shabis, afilu Rebbe Shimon moda, if these things had become separated on Erev Shabbos, so then in such a case, Rabbi Shimon is moda that it's going to be muktzah. So the Beis Yosef has a bomb kasha. Beis Yosef asks, "Ve'eni yodea ma bein zel nevela shenasabel be'erev Shabbos da'afil Rabbi Yehuda shari b'perek mishehechsha." So the Beis Yosef asks the exact opposite. He says the whole shaila you have is if you have something that was connected to basar and it didn't have any chashivas before as a bein hashmashos, and then it falls on down on Shabbos itself, and then you have to know whether it's muktza or not. But if it fell off on erev Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says alach is its mutter. Why? Because nevela shenisnabla erev Shabbos is ro'oi lachilas kelev, as I alluded to before. If it's already roi l'achilas kelev on Erev Shabbos, it's pashut that's going to be mutter. The problem is when it was roi l'achilas adam, but it wasn't separated for a kelev. It was separated for an adam. The meat was roi l'adam, but the bone was not designated for a kelev, nor was it something that a person was going to eat. And that was the diun. If it's ro'u l'maichel behema, that Rabbi Shimon says that's going to be enough not to be muktzah, where Rabbi Yehuda says it's still going to be muktzah, but needs to be ro'u l'achilas behema. But if you have something that hadn't been separated before Shabbos, so it was ro'u l'achilas adam, but the bone, the person wasn't going to eat. So then when it comes in on bein hashmashos, it's going to be muktzah. So asks the Beis Yosef on the Ran. The Ran doesn't make sense. The Ran doesn't make sense. If it was separated before Shabbos, and it was ro'i la'achilas kelev, then kal v'chomer, it's going to be mutter. Oh, so that's a very important kasha of the Beis Yosef. So one needs to answer that question, and there are many different answers to the question, but the answer we're going to run to is u'bnei Yisrael yotzim b'yad rama. The answer of Darkei Moshe, because the Darkei Moshe's answers become extremely important la'halacha. So says let's take a look at Darkei Moshe. Ve'eini yoidea ma'koshelot. Says the Darkei Moshe, there's a simple answer. You know what the Darkei Moshe does? The Darkei Moshe does something that actually earlier Rishonim, one could have asked why they didn't do it. And that is the Darkei Moshe says there's another Gemara that is really a corollary to this Gemara. And that starts with the Mishnah on Kuf Chavav Amidbeis. The Mishnah on Kuf Chavav Amidbeis talks about chardal. Chardal is mustard, and chardal in those days was not the mustard. It wasn't French yellow mustard. It was mustard seeds, but nobody ate mustard or that type of mustard seed. And who ate them? Only animals ate from them. So the Mishnah over there has a discussion whether the chardal is mutter or it's going to be aser. So the Gemara begins to discuss that it depends on what type of animals you have and whether the animals would eat it. Okay. So Emir Tzashem will see that Gemara shortly when we take a look at the Beis Yosef. But the point is we have a very, very similar Gemara over there on Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Alef. We have an item. Here, up until now, Kuf Mem Gimel, we're talking about bones, and bones, whether people eat them or dogs eat them, and whether they're muktzah or not. Here we talk about aluf, I don't know the exact translation of aluf, chardal, a mustard seed, and again, the question of whether animals eat them, whether the animals don't, and whether they're going to be muktzah. So comes along the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe points out as follows, that the Gemara and the Rishonim talk about this chardal as whether it's ro'ui l'orvin, whether ravens are going to eat it. So says the Darkei Moshe as follows. The Gemara suggests that if ravens eat it, so then in such a case it's not going to be mutzah. So now, what does that mean, ravens eat it? Does ravens eat it mean that in the world of theory, a raven could swoop in and eat it, and therefore that's enough to make it not mukzah? Or do you need to own the raven? Do you need to own the dog? Now, by the way, when I read Pashuk Pshat, when Ra'ui L'Arvin, we're going to read it inside Shulchan Aruch, I thought that it meant any raven could come swoop in and eat it. We're going to see that's not the way most Rishonim assume. But let's follow the bouncing ball in the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe says like this. The case of Rabbi Yehuda was that you cut the nevela, the carcass, and you gave it to it and put it in front of a dog. So if you cut the carcass and you put it in front of a dog, so on Erev Shabbos, you had a dog, you prepared it before Shabbos. However, what happens if you don't have a dog? So then, in such a case, even if it was cut up before Shabbos, that's not going to make it not mukzah, neither according to Rabbi Yehuda nor according to Rabbi Shimon. Continues the Darkei Moshe. V'lachein, divrei Aron nechonim. The daf got some lishin sparkim in abasar b'Shabbos. Mutal avir min ha'shulchan hol v'adayim ruyin klavim. Afal v'shein lo klavim. Avol sharat samos, asur l'talton, upashatul be'enai. If you have atzamos that was a sparkum in abasar b'Shabbos, it was ro'i l'klavim, so then it's going to be mutter. But all other bones are going to be asur. Why? Because it wasn't prepared, and you didn't have dogs. So the teretz for the Ran is as follows: that the Ran is saying, when he says in the sparkum may erev Shabbos afilu Rabbi Shimon modeh. So the answer to that question is, and let's spell out, the Beis Yosef had asked, what's the difference between this and the Velish and the Sadler Erev Shabbos that Rabbi Yehuda holds its mutter? The answer is that Rabbi Yehuda had said that the halacha is that it's mutter only if you have a dog over there that you're ready to give it to. And that, if you don't have dogs, is going to be usher. That same piece of meat is going to be usher. So the Darkei Moshe says that the Shita of the Ran is that you need to have the dogs in front of you. If you don't have dogs in front of you, the fact that it's ro'u l'achilas kelev, that's not going to be enough. And Darkei Moshe goes on, v'nir li didas Beis Yosef l'tameh, but the Beis Yosef, who challenged it, he's going to connect, this is the Darkei Moshe speculating, he's going to connect this to the sugya of luf. Ah, what's the sugya of luf? That the Rambam holds, if arvim are mitsuyam, if the ravens are around, then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. In other words, the Beis Yosef had asked this kasha on the Ran because the Beis Yosef assumed that once it's ro'i l'achilas kelev, then it's not going to be usher either according to Rabbi Yehuda or according to Rabbi Shimon. However, the Ran did not hold that way. The Ran held that if you don't have a dog, even if it's ro'i l'achilas kelev, in such a case, it's going to be usher. Oh. So here we have a machlokas rishonim about do you need to have access to dogs immediately to make these bones mutter or not. We have a big machlokas rishonim. Now, how do we pass in this machlokas? So in order to be machri in that machlokas, we have to do the sugya of luf, we have to do that other sugya, the sugya on kufchafes. So we mentioned that there is a mishnah on Kuf Chavav. So let's take a look at the sugya on Kuf Chavches Amid Aleph. So it is quite a bit of Gemara. I'll read it quickly and we'll bring out the most salient points. Says the Gemara, V'lo'aslov, Tanur Rabbanim, Metalpon Sachatzav Neshu Machal Atzvayim. There was a certain type of food that was a food for, I believe, turtle. V'sachardal M'pneshu Machal L'yonim. And pigeons ate mustard. To this day, I don't understand. There's these small ostriches that ate glass. Schuchis is glass. I don't know exactly what the Gemara means. Then the Gemara says, so that's what the Gemara says, that there is a shita. The Tanakhama holds you could feed it to a turtle. Again, the Tanakhama is vague. Do you need to own the turtle or not? That's not so clear. We're going to see how the Rishonim see it. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, as long as you could be metalta even shivrei zchuchis, because na'amios would eat them. Amar le Reb Nosson al miata chavilas marci tam neishu michael apilim. If that would be so, then even no straw should ever be mukta, because elephants could eat it. Now here, the Gemara is asking as follows. This is the way most understand. The Gemara is asking as follows. Gemara is saying, why do you say that this mustard is going to be mutter because it's machal yonim? In other words, you could feed it to yonim. If that would be so, then almost all things that grow from the ground should never be mukta. Now, no one had elephants in those days. They didn't have domesticated elephants. So what's the crux of the Gemara? What is Rabbi Nosson asking? Rabbi Nosson is asking, so then nothing that grows from the ground should be mukta, because in theory, there's an elephant somewhere who could eat it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so what's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say? Na'miyo shchichi pilin lo shchichi. It's not common. Elephants are not common. Ne'imeos are shchichi, but the pilim are not. Amar Vashon, Meimer El, the Kamel Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Chamil Zmerzi, Yatal, Neshu, Michael, Pilin, E, Yisle, Pilin, Amai, Lo, El, Roy, Hachanami, Roy. Amar Abai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva, Kulu, Svirle, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim heim. Abaye crunches the Yisod, and he says that the rule is Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim. It's a fascinating, fascinating idea. I would imagine there's someone in Miron today that's going to quote this Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim from Rabbi Shimon. So what does it mean here? It means a lot. Al pi Kabbalah, al pi Nister, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim. But to Nigla, what does Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim mean? What Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim means is, it's true, most of us don't own Barnes and Bailey Circus. Most of us don't own a elephant. However, since Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim, even though we don't have that in our bank account, but nevertheless, Klapei Shmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers us Melachim, and therefore our items that we have are ra'ui to these behemos. And then in such a case, we are B'nai Melachim. Now, how far does that go? Does it go even to Barnes and Bailey Circus? Does it go that far? Or maybe it doesn't go to Pilim, because Pilim are lo shchichi, but we're talking about even if you don't have the ostrich, which is more shchiach than the elephant, then that's enough maybe to remove the muk. So that's going to be an open question. But here, what is the machlokas? So I saw it crunched very beautifully. The Shiras Hayam does an excellent summary. He says the crux of the Shiloh over here of Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim is as follows. Do we say that something is not Muksa because an animal that only Melachim have, now the Rishonim are going to turn that into wealthy people, that only wealthy people have, is that enough to make it not Muksa? Or you have to own the animal, or it has to be an animal that's normal for you to own. Take a look at page 171 in your booklet, about halfway through, the Shiras Hayam. First of all, they have a great chart over there spelling out the Tanakhama of Shimon Gamliel. And on the bottom in Ha'ara 417, he summarizes within the Beis Yosef, he says very nicely, Nir b'das Beis Yosef sham b'das atur, shekol ha'chayo shemaninu kan, all these different animals, including pigeons and ravens, heim shel ashirim. So the Gemara assumes we're not talking about the Brooklyn pigeons in the park. What we're talking about are actually fancy birds. And the shaila of the Gemara of Kol Yisrael B'nai Melachim is this exact shaila, dahainu. Do we say that something becomes not mukta as long as it would have an exquisite animal eat it, but if it would be eaten by a standard animal like dogs and cows, and it would not be eaten by that standard animal that most people have, so then in such a case, then it would still be muktza? Or do you say that even though most people, or it's common for people to have dogs and cows, nevertheless, and they don't have these more exquisite animals, we say Kol B'nei Yisrael Melachim. And since Kol B'nei Yisrael Melachim, so then in such a case it's not going to be Mukta. So that's the Shaila of the Gemara. Okay, that's the Diun and the Machlokas in the Gemara. And it comes out to Machlokas Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So far so good, Rabbosai? Yeah? Fantastic. Okay, so now let's take a look at, see how we paskin. So it says the Tur in Shin Ches Chav Tes. He says, we paskin L'chumra. Ein metalton es haluf. Afal bisho roi l'arvin v'loya sachatzat el ken yesh lo tzvayim. You need to own the turtle. V'lo shiv eskukas el ken yesh lo namiyos. V'lo chav ismurs el ken yesh lo pilim. V'lo chard el ken yesh lo yonim. So the tour is quite a machmir over here in the sense that all these things are going to be muktza. We don't paskin l'chadchila kol b'nei Yisrael melachim. And if you don't own it, then it's not going to work. Even though b'nei Yisrael are melachim, however one understands that. The problem is that in the Shulchan Aruch we have a different formulation, which is based on the Rambam. The Shita of the Rambam is quoted at the end of the Beis Yosef. In Sif Chaf Tes, says the Rambam. The Rambam, I believe, is in Perchav Hey, Perchav Vav. The Rambam Perchav Vav Halacha Tes Zayin. The Beis Yosef quotes at the end of Sif Chaf and Chaf Tes. He says, "Kol shu ra'uy l'maychal chayev oif hamitzuyin mitalklin oisay b'Shabbos." If it's roi to machal chayev oif, which is mitsuyim, which could be found, if you could find it, then that's going to be enough. So the Beis Yosef says that the Shitas HaRambam is the Shitas HaRan. And that is that the Ran understands that the Gemara never meant to say it depends on whether you own it or whether you don't. But rather, we're talking about whether it's common for that animal to be found. So in the case of the mustard is not going to be muktza if there are pigeons around. Once there are pigeons around, so then in such a case, it's not going to be muktza. So that is the psak of the Beis Yosef. Let's take a look and see how it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. Just a second, Adi. I just want to pull things together, and then I'll take your question. Says the Mechaber, Koshu ro'ui l'maychal chayev of hamitzuyim. So what's the Mechaber passing like the Rambam? How the Rambam read Kol Yisrael b'nei Melachim is an interesting thing, how he read that line in the Gemara. But as long as it's mitzuyim, mitalkal noisa, v'me'ena ro'ya l'maychal chayev of she'ena mitzuyim, im yeish lo'im yoisa min chayoy yoif. So the halacha is that even though if it's not mitzuyim, but if you own that animal, so then in such a case it's going to be mutter. So any animal chayav of that's mitzuyim will make what the item in your house, even if you wouldn't eat it, it will be enough to make it no longer muktza, as we paskin like the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Yes, Adi.
What is mud? I don't understand this far of it, not needing to own it. Like, just because they're mud, so like, what right does that give you to touch it?
Oh, very good. So I'll go to the most basic level, and then we'll flesh it out with the poskim. It's taken us a while to get to the poskim. I always found these sugyas very unclear, so that's why I went slowly through the Rishonim. The poskim are going to get to you, but even before the poskim, the chura the vard is as follows. When it's common for those animals to be in the neighborhood, so then in such a case, you would take that animal, let's say, chayev ov. So every once in a while, you would take that animal, you would feed it, you would then shecht it, and so on and so forth. So that makes that food is raw. You don't normally throw it out. You say, wait a second, I noticed that there was a deer over there, and so I'll use it for food, maybe I'll even attract the deer, I'll trap it, and so on and so forth. So
not
that
not for selfless purposes, not because you just want to
animals.
Oh, because so, ultimately you want to eat it, you want to like fatten it up.
Possibly, although we're gonna.
I'm bothered by why the contrast between this sugya and like the aneem, like why we don't talk about like aneem being matzoli in the.
Very good. So the Tehillah L'David asks your kasha. I photocopy and then I decide not to put it in the booklet. So it's in my office. The Tehillah David, it's actually in the Mar Mekomos, it's in the parentheses. The Tehillah David asks your kasha. I felt it was just, if it wasn't relevant lahalach, so I decided to omit it, but it'll be my pleasure to show it to you. It's a nice kasha. Okay. But we're going to see that the post can be refined. Actually, if we knew Hilchos Shabbos Kol backwards and forwards, it is a befer, it's a beferisha halacha in regards to feeding animals, when you're supposed to feed public animals, when you're not supposed to feed public animals, and that gets involved with your question. And thankfully, Rav Yashiv knew it backwards and forwards. So we're going to see. We'll see shortly. Rav Yashiv raises that issue. Okay. Now, this is these are the two halachos. These two halachos, as far as in my lexicon, were really, really two entirely different halachos. One, the din of atzamos, the other, the din of these different foods. And you had the Darkei Moshe that connected the two in being miyashev halacha. Now, what we had seen in Darkei Moshe is in his Yishuv, he said that the Ran says that you have to own the animal, and the Beis Yosef is going to hold that you don't need to own the animal. Now, the Ramah himself concludes this halacha in Sif Chavtes, and he gives us the Psak halacha, which is actually the way he was masgur the Beis Yosef himself. And that is, the Ramah concludes, Lefize mutter letaltal atzamal shenisparku min abosam erev Shabbos imruim klavim, Zaha klavim mitzuyim. So he says that since dogs are easy to find, that is why we are allowed to be metaltel atzamos, because it's ra'ui l'klavim, even though it's not ra'ui l'adam, but nevertheless it's ra'ui l'klavim, and therefore, since klavim are mitzuyim, it's going to be mutter. Jacob pointed out that the Mishnah Berurah says, v'kol shekein nisparku b'Shabbos, that certainly if it fell off on Shabbos itself, because it was ra'ui l'achilas adam, Jacob left off with a tzarch iun, that the Mishnah Berurah seems to be a little bit different than Siv Katan Kuf Yud. It's not a stira, we have double mervavas teretz, Maven Yav, and the other answer might be that Siv Chav Zayin, we were talking about the Shiloh of Nolad, as we spoke about previously, and here we're talking about just a question of whether it's Roy L'Achilas Klavim. I've just been vague in the last couple of sentences, but at the end of the day, the halacha is that when it comes to the din of Ro'u L'Kelev, that would apply whether it was Ro'u L'Kelev on Erev Shabbos, or was Ro'u L'Kelev on Shabbos itself. In the case of where it was a piece of meat when going into Shabbos, so then in such a case, there it's certainly not going to be muktza, because Bein HaShemash is the Ro'i L'Achilas Adam, and when it comes to on Shabbos itself, then when it falls off, then it's going to be Ro'i L'Achilas Kelev. The Noda Yehuda has a different mahalach, and that's this halacha. Now, in terms of what this means as far as halacha l'maisa, so here we need to observe the language of the Mishnah Berurah, and then discuss what is the scope of the heter of ra'ui l'kelev. So first of all, the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Kuf Yud Tes really knocks out the simple reading of the Mechaber. In Sif Katan Kuf Yud Tes, he says, She'ena mitzuyim eitzel rov b'nei adam. He says that the birds need to be matzui eitzel rov b'nei adam. And this adi gets into your question. The Mishnah Berurah did not read the halacha the way you and I read the halacha. The way you and I read the halacha was that as long as there is chayav of passing through, so then in such a case, then the halacha would be that it's not going to be muktza. The Mishnah Berurah says it needs to be that most people own that type of chayav of. That's how the Mishnah Berurah learns. Again, eitzel rov b'nei adam. So most people have it, so then if most people have yonim, so then in such a case, then that would make it the muster no longer muktza. However, umada ashirim megadun osanim bebateim lo nechshav matzui. He says the fact that of course the wealthy are the minority, the wealthy will never become the majority despite the dreams of the conservatives and the liberals, both on both sides, that's... Rav Shechter pointed out that the pasuk says ki lo yechtal ani ve'ev yom mikarev ha'aretz, that the pasuk says that the mitzvah of tzedakah is that don't think that you could redistribute money, or that everybody won't be poor. The Torah says ki lo yechtal ani ve'ev yom mikarev ha'aretz, that there's a reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, some would say, so that we would have the mitzvah of tzedakah, that there will be an ani ve'ev yom mikarev ha'aretz. So umad ashir. So there's ashirim. Ashirim are the miut. Ashirim will never be the majority. Umad ashirim megadon osa hamin bebatem lo nechshav matzui. That's not considered. that's not considered matzli. So if you're not the usher, so the fact that there is chayva of walking through, and the fact that your neighbor is an usher is not going to affect the halacha. And therefore, what emerges is that this whole din of chayiv of is really not too common. The whole heter of chayiv of is not too common. And therefore, if you have food that is ra'ui l'chayiv of, even if there's chayiv of that's walking through the neighborhood, that's not going to be enough to be matir. It needs to be that the majority of people have chayiv of. And then we need to explain why it is that once it's the majority, even if you're in the minority, it's going to be mutter. We'll get to that shortly. But that's the general din of chayvo. So far, so good, Rabbi Osai? Okay. Now, let's talk about this in practical terms. So today, there aren't a majority of people have a particular chayvo. So that's not going to turn any particular food into no longer muktza. But the question is, what about klavim? What about dogs? So here, the Shvus Yitzchak puts together a few of these pieces, and I think once the Shvus Yitzchak is done, then many of the shilas will be answered.
Should that first thing we said about Chayin Oaf be based on neighborhood town, or is that's a global meaning?
It'll be a global rule that in your neighborhood or city, it needs to be that the majority of people.
Does anyone agree with, like I'm saying, if that would be the case then? Or is it because in the world, the majority of people don't have...
No, just in your neighborhood, just in that particular neighborhood. Okay, so... Okay, he says, V'shamati me'ar v'yashiv, d'davka im yesh ba'alim le'balechayim. Our heter that we're talking about is only talking about a case of where it's owned, the animals are owned by people. Shim lo kein, kivan she'asalita lam ochel. So Rav Yashiv point out, there's a beferish ha'alach in Simin Shin Chav Dalet Sif Yud Aleph that says that you're not allowed to be toreach on Shabbos for an animal. You're only allowed to feed your own animals. Let's take a look. So you're allowed to put in front of domesticated animals, and also dogs are an exception. So what's going on over here? So here the issue is that you're not allowed to be toreach on an animal that his mizonos is not alecha. You're allowed to feed our Shabbos, your animal, because mizonos of alecha, you have a responsibility. In fact, the simple reading of the Torah is that you're supposed to feed your animals before you eat yourself. So there you have a chiyuv. You have a chiyuv. But, that's only your animals. If it's public animals, so then you're not allowed to do that Shabbos. But so this is lahalacha, by the way. The halacha is that you're not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos. That's a tircha. But there's one exception. What a coincidence. The one exception is a dog. Take a look. Sifkat malam and aleph. Vafilu in the Mishnah Berurah. Vafilu kelev she'ein megagel bebeiso mutter. The mitzvah ksas gam litan lo mezonos kmo shem l'chazal. Shechos alav lefi shem mezonos al ma'atin. So the dogs are the one exception. The Chazal understood that dogs are always in turmoil for food, and if you're so, therefore, the complaint about the neighbors feeding the dogs. So in Israel, actually, most people complain about the neighbors feeding the cats. So, but neighbors feeding, but someone feeding the dog might even be mutter on Shabbos. So Rav Yashiv says like this. This whole heter of chayiv ha'of doesn't make any sense if we're talking about not wild animals. We must be talking about animals that are owned. And once the animals are owned, so then the bialim have to feed them. Now, then the obvious question becomes, but what happens if you don't own a dog, right? So we need to discuss. Now, we already said that chayiv ha'of almost doesn't happen today. Because chayiv ha'of, you need that the majority of people in the neighborhood own it. But But dogs are an exception to the rule. Why are dogs an exception to the rule? Because there's a mitzvah, tzas mitzvah to feed dogs. So then, since there's a mitzvah kala to feed dogs, so then in such a case, then it could very well be that that's going to be matir your bones, because your bones are roi for something. What are they roi for? They're roi for that mitzvah kala to feed them. Oh. Vahosif, Rabbi Yashu continues, the ain dai b'masha balachayim rogel afalatzal kviyos. Even if the animals come to you to eat, because you're still not allowed to feed them. At sarach shi abaylam shlo b'dinei mominus, then you need to own them. So the Mishnah Berurah says, continuing on page Kuvyuf, that's in the Shavuos Yitzchak, that when it comes to dogs, it's mutter ksas to feed them, it's v'ksas. Ulefizeh, that's the explanation of all the above halachos. Klipen v'atzama shurim leklavim. In Yesh Klavim Makam Ahu Afa Pishelam Bailim Mutal Tatlan Kimish Mutal Achilam the Klavim. So he says, since there is a mitzvah tzas to feed dogs, then in such a case, the halacha would be, according to some, that that would be enough to remove the heter, because it's mutter lachilam the klavim. Yad Yesh La'ay Mama Hani Shemitzuim Bosa Makam Balachayim Shem Berim. But now, wait a second. So even if it's common to have dogs in your neighborhood, but if you don't own a dog, so you don't have that mitzvah. So he says, if it's common that there are dogs in the neighborhood, and you could give the owners the leftovers, so then they're not muktza, because you'd be able to share with him. So let's summarize what we have. The heter of chayav ha'ov, we're not talking about domesticated, we're not talking about undomesticated animals. So therefore, to have the heter of chayav ha'ov is almost impossible. The heter to have for klavim, so here there are two possibilities. First of all, dogs are man's best friend, and in many neighborhoods, it's quite common to have dogs. That's number one. Number two, you have the line of the Magen Avraham, that the Magen Avraham says that if you have, dogs are an exception to the rule, you're allowed to feed them. So it could very well be, even if the dogs are not domesticated, then it would be mutter. And if you're talking about domesticated dogs, even if you don't have a dog, if you have neighbors that would have a dog and you would give them the food, so then in such a case, it would be mutter. So let's talk practically. Halacha l'maisa l'maisa, in terms of atzamas. Now, there's a lot at stake over here, Rav Osai. There's a lot at stake. What's at stake? We've been talking about bones. Why is it so important? So this has profound nafkaminas of how you look at leftover food. Basically, this is the way that we're going to save leftover food from becoming muksa. So there's a lot at stake now, because if leftover food is muksa, then you have problems with garbages, that garbages could become muksa. Again, we were makel relatively on chad pami, that still it's really considered a kli and so on. But the other big shaila is in regards to this leftover food. So right before the shir, I finally found the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, where there's a line. I did see that there were people who made reference that they disagreed with it, but I finally found it tucked away. In Perek Yud Beis, I didn't photocopy it for you because it's Mamish right before. In Perek Yud Beis, Ha'aret Sadi Aleph, there's almost a one-liner from Rav Shlomo Zalman that he says, Da'af bi'ir she'ena behemos mitzuyos, mikol mokom lo chashivim muktza ho v'shein maichol behema aleihem. Tremendous kula that many of the poskim don't understand the Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa. That the Shmir Shabbos says atzamos veklipos ruuyas lamaychal behema mutar l'taflon b'shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says even if there aren't dogs, nevertheless, since ain behemos mitzuyos, it's there's shame maychal behema aleihem. That is the most lenient position out there. From reading the Shavuos Yitzchak, you don't get that impression. But the Shavuos Yitzchak does say that it could very well be that as long as there are dogs in the neighborhood that are owned, that would be mutter. This is just what I recall, in the Smichas Chaver program, they just did muktza. So when we were learning muktza, Rav Shai Schechter put in from his father that his father thought that unless there's someone in your building, this was, again, I'm just repeating from a chat, so this is not halacha lamaisa lamaisa, but lahagdil toru ladira. If I recall, Rav Shai said that his father felt that if you don't have a significant amount of people in your building that have dogs, so then even if it's, there are people who have dogs in the neighborhood, that would not be, it would be muktzah. Very, very different than Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, and even more chomer than what's quoted over here from Rav Yashiv, that if there is a significant amount of dogs, then that would be enough because you'd be able to shear it. The Piskei Tshuvas is a lot closer, quotes shitos that are a lot closer to what Rav Shai had supposedly said from his father. And that is, that if you take a look, Piskei Tshuvas I quoted for you. Yeah, on page Reish Chav Beis, Behine. Kivan shedine mukta tzluim lefi azman v'amakom bizmanenu ein ro'i klal estamech lahater tiltul psolas ekev ki ro'i lebali chayim ki bizmanenu ein derech b'nei adam losos psolas ma'chole lebali chayim v'afilu mitzluim b'svivasa. In general, the Piskei Tshuvas quotes those who are machmir, he only as a limud schus does he justify. He says today it's just not common to feed dogs with your leftovers. And since it's not common, so then the whole halacha doesn't apply. When did we say that's ro'ui, l'achilas kelev is going to be enough? That was talking about when it was common. But today, where it's not common to feed those leftover to the dogs, so then in such a case, the halacha is that it's going to be usur. It seems to me that, first of all, I'm a little biased as being a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, that Rav Shlomo Zalman was much more makil, that he still went back to Dina de Gemara, and he said that if it's Roi L'Achilas Kelev, then that's going to be enough. If someone wants to argue that Shita is a tremendous Chiddush, like the Piskei Tshuvas does, it's a tremendous Chiddush because the Gemara said that if the dogs are found in your area, and because they're found in your area, so then in such a case, you would feed it to them. If there are no dogs in your area, then it wouldn't apply. So, in many ways, Rav Eliashiv's psak, it seems to be the middle road. Again, I think you could rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman, but Rav Eliashiv's psak seems to be very much a middle road. Rav Eliashiv says that, A, the fact that there are wild dogs is not going to be enough. It needs to be that there are dogs that are domesticated, although we saw a Magen Avraham that might say that even if there are a significant amount of wild dogs. But certainly, if you live in a neighborhood where many people have dogs, then for sure it would be mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to say you don't even need that. And then there are others who say that people, since people don't feed the dogs bones today at all, it would be a problem. There is a very important hashlacha that comes out of this. And the hashlacha is as follows. Medication. Is medication muktza? So, Baruch Hashem, you're not sick on Shabbos, and there's medicine that's sitting around. So, it's not klishim lach b'lisser, so you wouldn't be able to move it. Letzarach guf, letzarach nekoma. So I photocopied for you. I had a long time. I had a tough day today with Shmir Shabbos Bilchasa. I was looking and looking and looking. I saw this quoted. Yeah, I'm indebted to Rav Eliyadah Goldwicht. He quoted this from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. I had his notes, and I was looking up and down Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the Mar Makom that he gave. I couldn't find it, and then I realized that, of course, he was using the new Defus. So here is actually interesting. In the newest edition of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, they're Mitzayin our Halacha, and it seems to me that it's not in the any place in the older Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, nor in the Miluim. A lot of times, what the new Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa did was they added the Rav Shlomo Zalman's comments, which had been put into the third volume. But in this case, not sure where along the way in the process they got Rav Neuwirth decided to put it in. Rav Neuwirth added something that didn't exist in the older editions, which is a big heter. That's in Perek Lamed Dalid. It's again a one-liner. Ha'ara tes. Perek Lamed Dalid Ha'ara tes. He says as follows. V'ulam. First of all, let's take a look at the psak. The psak is that trufos, actually the psak was erased, is not clear above. The psak over there is that medication is muktzah. If you weren't sick on Erev Shabbos, so it wasn't muchan for you, and the majority of people are not sick, so then why would the medication be mutter? So in the Ha'aros, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Ha'aros Tes, he says, "Ulam b'makom shenitzan cholim shemutalem l'shtamish b'trufa ela yeshomer de'ena trufa sein mutza." That once you have that, there are some people in the neighborhood that could use that medication. In such a case, it's not going to be mutza. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter. So there are those who speculate that this heter is based on the above idea. That once you have a din of klavim as being it's roi to give to a klavim, so too kavachomer, if it would be roi to give to people, so then in such a case it would not have a din of the din of mukza. How you decide that is an interesting question. So for example, let's say you're in a small bungalow colony on Shabbos, and the next bungalow colony is quite a distance away, and the odds that someone here is going to need this bronchitis prescription is not very, very high. Baruch Hashem, it's not very, very high, but it's possible. So do you have to start making cheshbonos? It's a little unclear to me. Do you have to start making cheshbonos? You know, how big of the population are you around, whether that population is within the area of... What type of medication is it? Is it medication that's more common? If it's cold medicine, then on every block you have somebody that's going to need cold medication. But if it's something that's a more unique type of medication, do you need to? It's a little bit unclear where you draw a line. And for Chazal, it seems that these cheshbonos were important. You know, we differentiate between what's royal klov and what's royal chayiv of, etc., etc. So. It's a little bit unclear. Yeah, can you help me out on this? Yeah.
No, I was just going to add to the question, I guess, mm-hmm. a little bit in terms of prescription medication. Since you're not allowed to give it to anybody else, would that mean...
Legally you're not allowed. Right. So we live in the Middle East, and it doesn't always work that way. When we made Aliyah, they put up all the reasons why you shouldn't... you should not make Aliyah. They said, don't make Aliyah if you think that moving to another place will improve your marriage. Don't make aliyah if you think you'll make more money by coming to, or you're, and so on and so forth. And then the final line was, and don't forget you're moving to the Middle East. Baruch Hashem. Now, it's also actually latov. In other words, here in Eretz Yisrael, what's common in religious neighborhoods is they have something that called gemachim of medication. So it's, in religious neighborhoods, it's mind-boggling what type of gemachs there are. You know, almost anything you need, you could find. The danger of it is that it's very hard to follow all the legal rules about medications in such instances. But it's amazing. There's a beautiful story where Rav Levi Yitzchak on the night of Pesach got up and he asked. In those days, tobacco was illegal in the Ukraine, so he got up and he asked the tzibur to bring him tobacco, and someone brought him. And then he asked for a silk that was also illegal, and they brought him. And then he asked for chametz, and no one bring him chametz. He said, "Kadosh Baruch Hu." He said, "Look at these holy Jews. They have every single thing that's illegal here, but the one thing they don't have is chametz." So, I hope that doesn't apply today. In those days, the vices weren't the same vices. But Nachzor L'Nyaneinu, I think it's totally in the Metzius. Obviously, it gets into a fascinating question in terms of Din the Malchusa and so on and so forth. Yeah?
I'm not versed in them, but aren't there some halachos against medicine and Shabbos in general?
Correct. We're talking about those medication that people who are reach a certain type of level of sickness, as mechush ba'alma, you're not allowed to take, but if it's nafal mishka, it will be mutter. And also, when it comes to antibiotics, in general, antibiotics are mutter because, God forbid, if a person doesn't take the right dosage of antibiotics, it could be desperate.
So just meaning those that you get to that point, seemingly you kind of usually, oftentimes you know before Shabbos, but I mean it's rare that like that happens in a period of time within 24 hours where you find out you need these medications,
right?
And then you gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like someone's gonna take these medications from you.
Right, you're saying Manushaf. Either they've ordered it already, and they, you know, how many times you have people. What's amazing? Well, yes, but it is amazing that there are people that take advantage. in a positive way, of these gemach things, that it's difficult to get medication. By the way, also, pharmaceuticals in Israel is more complicated, in the Middle East is more complicated than in America. So sometimes people are really desperate, and then the pharmacies are not as efficient as they are in the States. It used to be that way. So therefore, these things are actually really helpful. So the bottom line is, I think that there are people. But again, what I'm struggling with is where you draw the line. I'm not sure.
Like vitamins and other lesser.
So vitamins and lesser things. So then hafuch, because they're lesser, it's less likely to be muksa. Why? Because if you're in a large enough place, everybody's going to be interested in vitamin. There are always people interested in vitamin D and vitamin C and so on and so forth. So then certainly it would not be muksa, because there are people out there that it wouldn't be muksa for, that they would use it. The problem with medication is that you for sure don't need it. You as the Baal HaBayis. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman is mechadish. That's like roi leklavim. It could very well be that it's a Shmir Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos said. It could be a Shmir Shabbos following Rav Shlomo Zalman. That you have this very, very broad thing. Once it's ra'ui, once it's roi leklavim, so once it's roi to achola, you don't need it. As I'm talking it out, it could be that that's mamish lishitasam. Once Rav Shlomo Zalman said that once it's in theory ra'ui, that's going to be enough. And klavim, all you need is theory, and klavim is different than chayev of. So too, the same thing. Once it's ra'ui for people, just because there's no one in this neighborhood that has the sickness, but since it's ra'ui, then in such a case, that'll be enough. That's probably the shita. Okay, let's do a few more halach l'maisa things. First of all, Rav Nissim Karelitz writes in regards to bones that have marrow. So he says that if the bone has marrow, then for sure the halacha is that it's going to be mutter, and you don't need to get involved with issues of rotli lachilas kelev, because it's common for people to open up the bones, crack the bones open, and eat the marrow. So therefore, he is makel with atzam sheish b'moach. And by the way, that might be a very big petach. For obviously, carbon pesach will be different, but aside from carbon pesach, it's common for people to break open the bone and eat inside, and therefore that would be an excellent petach for most bones. Why wouldn't it be muktza? I saw that there were other poskim who said that depends on place and culture. That it could be that 100 years ago people broke open the bones to eat the marrow. Today it might be less common, and therefore it could be the halacha changed. But that was how Rav Nissim Karelitz is made on. If one takes a look in Sif Lamed Aleph, very straightforward halacha, based on the Gemara says the following. We'll read it, since it's late, we'll read it straight from the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says, in regards to unsalted meat, Basar Chai, raw meat, Afilu Tafel She'enim Meluach Klal Mutu Otautlo, Mishum Dechazi Lu'umtza, even though it's entirely raw, but since the people chew raw meat, the Mishnah Berurah astutely points out in the brackets, She'ein asar v'achilasa mishum dam, achar shehudach kishe'ochlo kushuchai, the halach in Yoredeh, getting ready for next year, Mirtz Hashem, is that if you wash off the blood from meat and you eat it raw, you don't need to salt. The only time you need to salt is when you cook. But when it comes to eating it raw, chewing it raw, then, and that was a common food in those days. So the halacha is that it's going to be chazilum. So the big question that the poskim have is what about today? What about today? Today, do we say that the same rule applies? This is also has very big hashlachos, because this is the meat in the freezer. Is your meat in freezer muktza? That's a big, big problem. And the answer is that according to most poskim are machmir. Take a look, the Aruch HaShulchan is explicit in Sif Katan Nun Ches. The Aruch HaShulchan is towards the end of your booklet. Is it here? If anybody, let me know when you find it. No? For some reason I didn't get it. Not sure why. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that the halacha doesn't apply. He says once upon a time people chewed raw meat, people don't chew raw meat anymore, and therefore it's going to be usher. You know, it was similar, like beef jerky. That was the way people used to eat raw meat once upon a time. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says also. Similarly, that's how we have in two of the psakim, I think this we should have, in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perik Yud Aleph, Ha'orach Chaf Aleph. Yeah, that we have right after Ramesh's Tshuva. In Ha'orach Chaf Aleph, he says, excuse me, Chaf. Ha'orach Chaf, is that right? Yeah. And he says, Vishkamati me'agrashaz, v'mekimen she'yidu ha'sheh bezmanenu, ein af echad she'ochel basar b'umtza, u'befrak kishabasar ein meluach tzarf iyun, eich ef shel ha'kla taltla. So Shlomo Zalman came out l'chumra, and he said, if you have something that no one eats today, it's not common at all, so then in such a case it's going to be usher. It crossed my mind, is there a stira between Rav Shlomo Zalman? Rav Shlomo Zalman is so makel when it comes to that if it's ra'ui l'achilas kalav, then it's enough. Even you don't need to know that there's a kalav in your neighbor, it's probably not a stira, because at the end of the day, dogs today still eat bones. That is common. It could be that not in in Hollywood, California, will a posh dog eat those bones. But in general, dogs as a species eat bones. However, when it comes to meat, so meat is not eaten by people in the house, and they're not, and they don't serve it to dogs either. And so, therefore, the meat is entirely muktzeh machmas gufo. It's going to be a problem. Finally, also Ramesha in Hey Chaf Beis Tes, he says the exact same thing as well. Tiltul Basar Chai Shela in Muto Tiltul Basar Chai Bizman Hazeh Shuva Kivan De'ena Derech Lakus Al Basar Chai L'chein Havi Le'Muktzah. Ramesha also said it was Muktzah. There is again Rabbisim Karelitz again is Mekel. This you have in your booklet towards the beginning in Samach Gimel Aleph. He says Basar Chai towards the end of the bottom. Basar chay she'ena meluach, de'ena muktzah mishum dechazel umtza. Hinei b'gemara lo mechalik b'ena basar hudaf me'adam shalav lo. U'mashma demutah b'shav saldiach ha'basar me'adam shalav. V'hud lech mizeh mishum borer. And then he says, above that, I'm sorry. U'fi zeh afilu bizmanenu. Af al pi she'en ochlem klal basar chay, nami e'ena muktzah. Ve'ein mir lo me'adikim de bizmanenu na'ashem afunak mishum mekriyenu roi. V'kim de me'luvur b'gemara dechazel umtza. Hainu lo ochle chay, lo nishtanu hadavar. God forbid, in extreme situations, people would eat raw meat as well. I'm not sure what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is. In other words, Rav Nissim Karel says, you follow the Din of the Gemara, it stays the Din of the Gemara. And the other poskim say, no one does it today, and therefore it's not going to change. It could very well be that the Nekudas HaMachlokas really is whether you look at extreme situations as being machriya the din. The Nissim Karel's ultimate argument is that stays al pi dinei de gemara, because in extreme situations people would eat raw meat. And the other poskim don't seem to be taking into account that. Maybe that's part of the machlokas, and what that nekudas machlokas is, I'm not sure. Yes, yes.
The poskim say that it's muksa. Do you have to say that they think it's not even food?
Correct. Right. So Rabosai comes out of big chumrah.
It's just like an ice pack or something.
Oh, so the question is whether you could say that since if a person would get an injury, it would be used as an ice pack, so therefore it's not considered muktzah machmas gufa. Yeah, that's an interesting question. So let's start me'akal l'kaveh together. What would happen if a person would get an injury on Shabbos and they would want to use, according to the Ruba the Post, more Machner, and they'd want to use the meat as an ice pack? So first of all, when it comes to Muktza, there are times we're makel for a chola. So that really is not so, that's not so helpful in terms of a test case. But
you're allowed to put this back.
In terms of refuah, so it depends on how extreme the situation is. But let's assume that's a serious situation that he really needs. He's a nafal mishkav and so on. So then it would seem to me mutter.
If you could ever do refuah, you could probably find that muktzah also. And you could tell a certain extreme situation.
Probably, probably. But al tilchus moksa l'chura, it is a problem because it's not designated before Shabbos unless you're going to go so far as to say that it always has that potential, and since it has that potential, then in such a case it's mutter. That's a little bit difficult. I don't know. I'd like to see someone discuss that question. It's interesting. All right, Mirza Hashem, what we'll do is, since some of the chevra also is not here, we'll start Graf Shalri'i in Mirza Hashem on Monday. These sugyas are not easy to pin down.